from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes with our bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we join in focusing on this wonderful scripture for Thanksgiving from Luke chapter 17. You know, this week we will be observing Thanksgiving in our country, a tradition, as you know, that began at Plymouth Colony back in 1620 and then was established as a national holiday in the middle of the Civil War in 1863 by Abraham Lincoln, who declared that we should set apart an entire day to give thanks. And across America, families and friends will gather together and hopefully around every table, before we dig into the feast, we will all pause and count our blessings and give thanks. Giving thanks plays such an important role in our lives as followers of Jesus. Some 300 years before the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, a well-known German theologian by the name of Meister Eckhart wrote about the importance of Christians giving thanks. And the quote is there in your notes. "If in your lifetime the only prayer you offer is thanks, that would suffice." If in your lifetime the only prayer you offer is thanks, that would suffice. You know, as children, our parents taught us to say please and thank you. When we ask for something, we were always to remember to say please. And when somebody gave us something, we were always to respond with thank you. And in essence, what our parents were teaching us was to understand the art of being thankful in life. When you receive a gift, you are extremely happy, but being thankful goes deeper than happiness. You're not only happy that you received a gift, but you are thankful for the thoughtfulness of the gift giver. What did you do when you received that gift that you were looking forward to receiving? You were so happy and you said, "Thank you, thank you," over and over again. And then you ran up to the one who gave it to you and you gave them a big hug and a kiss perhaps. And you were so grateful that you might have even taken some time out to write a letter of thanks and to put it in the mail. We all learn from our childhood the importance of having a grateful heart. Now here in the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus is giving us a lesson in thankfulness. Jesus gives these 10 men an amazing gift, but only one of them returns to say thank you. And Jesus asks this thought-provoking question that has come down to us through the ages. Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Now, this story doesn't tell us where the other 9 are or why they forgot their manners. Maybe they were in a hurry to get back home to their loved ones that they've been separated from for so long. Or maybe they thought that they deserved the gift of healing. I've suffered long enough with this disease, they might have said. It's about time somebody hears my cries for help. We don't know why those 9 didn't turn back to express their gratitude to Jesus. But we do know this, as it says in number 1 in the notes. God deserves thanks because God freely gives mercy to those who do not deserve it. God deserves our thanks because God freely gives mercy to those who do not deserve it. Take a look at the first part of this story again, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Now we notice that there remained some distance between Jesus and these 10 lepers, and that's because leprosy was a dreadful disease. Today, if leprosy is caught early enough, it can be cured, but in Jesus' day, there was no cure. Those who had leprosy had to live outside of the village. They couldn't hug their parents. They couldn't be with their spouses. They couldn't be with their children. If a leper came into the vicinity of someone who didn't have leprosy, they were required to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Those with leprosy had a reeking odor because of their condition. And as the disease progressed, they would lose fingers and toes, and their faces would become disfigured. So these 10 suffered physically, and they also suffered socially. In their helpless estate, these 10 lepers called out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, can you imagine their overwhelming happiness when they went to the priests and discovered that there was not a spot, not a blemish on them, that they could now go back to their homes, their families, their jobs, their communities. They could go back to church. 10 lepers receive such amazing mercy, and yet only one returned. Now, our circumstances are much different than the 10 lepers in this story. But we've all been recipients of God's mercy. Yes, we've all had some difficult times, some suffering and some sorrow. But looking at the big picture of our lives, we recognize that God has richly bestowed upon each and every one of us grace upon grace. Not long ago, I read an article by a father who had learned about God's mercy from his 8-year-old daughter. And he said it so well that I just want to read a portion of what he wrote. "Our middle daughter," he wrote, had been previously adopted by another family. I'm sure this couple had the best of intentions, but they never were able to integrate their adopted child into their family with their other biological children. And after a couple of rough years, they dissolved the adoption, and we ended up welcoming an 8-year-old girl into our home. Now, for one reason or another, whenever our daughter's previous family went to Disney World, they took their biological children with them, but they left their adopted daughter home with a friend. Usually, at least in this child's mind, this happened because she thought she had done something wrong that kept her from going on the trip. And so by the time we adopted our daughter, she had seen many pictures of Disney World. She had heard about the rides and the characters and the parades. But when it came to passing through the gates of the Magic Kingdom, she had always been left on the outside. Well, when my wife and I found out about this, we made plans immediately to take the whole family, including her, to Disney World. And then he continues, in the weeks leading up to this trip, our newly adopted daughter's behavior was downright devilish. She tested the patience of everyone in the family. And a couple of days before we headed to Florida, I invited her to sit with me so that I could talk over with her latest escapades. And she looked up at me and she said, I know what you're going to do. You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you? And I replied, well, you're a member of our family, aren't you? Yes, she said meekly. Well, then you have to go with us. The trip wouldn't be the same without you. This changed that 8-year-old's entire behavior. And after our first full day at Disney, when bedtime rolled around, we said our bedtime prayers. And our daughter said, I asked our daughter, so how was your first day at Disney World? And she closed her eyes and snuggled down. And after a few minutes, she opened her eyes and she said, Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World. But it wasn't because I was good, she said. It's because I'm yours. It wasn't because I was good. It's because I'm yours. That 8-year-old gave a profoundly beautiful description of God's mercy. It's outrageous. I mean, grace isn't a favor that you can achieve by being good. It's a gift that you receive by belonging to God. And the thing is that from our Heavenly Father, we have all received grace upon grace. And so the question that this story raises for us is, how can we demonstrate our thankfulness for the God who has blessed us so abundantly? And this one leper who returned shows us the way. He shows us, first of all, as it says in number 2, we demonstrate our thankfulness to God by giving back. We demonstrate our thankfulness to God by giving back. Look at verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. You know, there are just so many ways that we can give back to God. These shoeboxes before us today express our thankfulness as we would give back to God for the sake of others. And another important way that we give back is through our worship. And we notice in this verse that this leper was not timid about expressing his praise to God. He praised God, we are told, with a loud voice. In other words, everyone around him would hear him shout, "Praise God!" You know, those who wrote the book of Psalms understood about turning back to praise God with a loud voice. The worship of the Hebrew people must have been filled with shouting, because when you read through the Psalms, you can find the word shout over and over again. I've included just a few of those dozens of examples we might have included in the notes today. And I'm going to ask that we read these three verses from the Psalms together. And whenever we get to the word shout, I invite you to raise your voices. Are you with me? So here we go. Psalm 42, verse 4. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival." What a wonderful picture of worship. And from Psalm 47, verse 1, "Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." There is no timidity of standing quietly with your mouth closed when the singing of praise to God is going on in church. And then Psalm 126, verse 6. "Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." Wow, that was great, John. We shout praise to God. Now, let me ask you, do you demonstrate your gratitude to God by worshiping Him? Or do you just take your blessings like the nine and go on your merry way? Are you devoted to being here in God's house, offering your thanks and praise? Or is God asking, where has he been? Or where has she been? My father-in-law's twin brother, Uncle Bob, was a United Methodist pastor. Well, first he was EUB, and I don't think he ever made it smoothly through the merger. But he used to recite these pithy little verses, and they are so memorable. And one of them, he said, was this: "Every time I pass the church, I stop and say a prayer, so that when at last I'm carried in, God won't ask, 'Who's there?'" And then he had an alternative version: "Every time I pass the church, I stop and pay a visit, and then when at last I'm carried in, God won't say, 'Who is it?'" 10 were healed. 10 were healed. Only one returned to give thanks. We demonstrate our thankfulness for God's amazing grace by giving back. And we give back in our worship. Secondly, he shows us that we demonstrate our thankfulness to God by giving upward. By giving upward. Notice verse 16. "He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." Another translation says, "He fell on his face at the feet of Jesus." The posture of this one's body also conveys the posture of his heart. He acknowledges that the Lord has done for him what he could not do for himself. He humbles himself in the presence of the Lord Jesus in the same way that children do when they sing, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. We demonstrate our thankfulness to God by giving upward. And this leper gave upward in yet another way, because Luke points out the important detail that this man was a Samaritan. So he was not only an outcast in the eyes of the Jewish people by virtue of his leprosy, but also because he was one of those outsiders who lived up north and were not of the pure Jewish race. The Apostle Paul writes in his New Testament letter, "Every good, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the Creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all." This man in his humility recognized that all that he received came as a good and perfect gift from the Father above, and it changed his entire life. In the series we completed last Sunday on the Philippians, we focused on the theme of joy. And we saw again and again how true joy comes by being in relationship with the source of our joy, Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus is your first love, when you recognize Jesus as the one that you look up to with thankfulness and humility, it gives you joy. When Jesus is your first love, you find contentment. When Jesus is your first love, you find peace. When Jesus is your first love, you find fulfillment in life. Bowing before Jesus, the one who returned to give thanks expresses, "Jesus, you are my everything." And then there's one more way that this one leper shows thankfulness. We demonstrate our thankfulness by giving outward. By giving outward. Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus asked, 'Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, that's the end of the story, and Luke doesn't tell us what happens next, but we can only imagine. We can only imagine how it was when he went back to the village and the people he knew saw him walking around completely clean of his disease. And everyone must have been asking, "Dude, what happened to you?" And it opened doors so that he could testify to the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for him. So let me ask you this morning, do you tell others about the salvation that you have experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you tell your family, your friends, about what you experience in community here at the church and invite them to come and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? Do you share the fact that, yes, I once was sick, but he made me well? Yes, I was poor, but he made me rich. Yes, I was alone, but he gave me peace and joy. Do you tell the people around you about the goodness of God? Or are you like the 9 who run off and go on to do their own thing? I love Psalm 107, and would like if we could read the beginning of it together. And we can carry these words with us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you continue on in that psalm, you discover that phrase repeated. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. As we prepare to sing our closing hymn today, I invite you to focus on what's under number 5 in your notes. 10 were blessed. Only one became a blessing. 10 were happy. They were healed. But only one experienced true and lasting joy. 10 received, but only one believed. 10 were healed physically, but only one was healed spiritually. 10 were blessed temporarily, but only one was blessed for all eternity. 10 saw the Lord, but only one met the Lord. And I am so glad this morning, friends, that I can become the one. How about you? I'm so glad that God has given me breath today so that I can tell others about the goodness of our God. How about you? As we look toward this Thanksgiving Day, how about you? Will you return and say thank you to Jesus? Will you be the one to bow your heart before the Lord and give upward? Will you be the one to give outward and to declare to everyone around you through what you say and how you live that you serve a wonderful Lord whose steadfast love endures forever? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen.